Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just stand up for a moment. Let's just stand up. You know, we got lots of space around here. We got lots of good stuff to do in this building. Amen. And I just want, on the count of three, I just want everybody to give from your heart a big shout unto God, just a big shout unto Him, because He deserves to be shouted about. You know, if we can fill stadiums and shout about teams and shout about, you know, playoffs and all that kind of thing, I think that the people of God occasionally just need to stand up in the midst of the assembly and let out the biggest shout on the count of three. Yay! Thank you, Lord. You are awesome God. He is a great God. Hallelujah. Let it be on the record. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. I said, God is good. I don't care what anybody says, God is good. Come on, I don't care about any circumstance, God is good. Come on, I don't care about any trial or tribulation or temptation, God is good. Hallelujah, He's a good God, and I'm so glad that I've got that established in my heart. You need to make sure you've got the goodness of God established in your heart, that He is God, He is good, He is only good, He is never bad, He is never both. Come on, if there's one thing that we can count on, it's the goodness of God. That every day we can wake up, there's no variation with Him, there's no shadow of turning. Come on, we don't have to get up today and say, who is God, what is God going to do? God is good, and He's going to do something good. Come on, I believe that God is going to do something good for you. Come on, I believe that this is the time for a new level, come on, a new dimension of the goodness of God. Really, where the goodness of God will run up on and overtake His people, that people will look you and they'll say, my gosh, your life is just so good. Oh my goodness, everything good happens to you. Come on, that's the God that we serve. Amen. Even in the midst of days like today's, we have to be anchored in and believing and expecting the goodness of God. Listen, if we had to live like the world lives, then we have no covenant with the God. Because God is a good God, and His covenant is everlasting. His covenant worked thousands of years ago. His covenant worked last year. His covenant works today. It's a covenant of goodness. Hallelujah. And we just got to get really radical. You know, these are not days where the church can sit back and kind of be swayed and go the way of the world. We've got to go the way of the kingdom. Come on, there's a culture of the kingdom. There's a way that the kingdom thinks. Listen, in heaven, it's all optimistic. Come on, there's nobody worrying or being concerned about what's going to happen. There's a way of thinking in the kingdom, and it's all good. It's all optimistic. It's all about, yes, the best. I still believe the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's about being radical. Come on, there's a way to live like the kingdom lives. Did you know that in the kingdom, no matter what's going on, it's just peaceful? Come on, there's a peace available to every Christian because we live in the kingdom. Come on, if we'll be more in tune with the kingdom that is within us. Come on, the kingdom through the Holy Spirit within us. Behold, the kingdom of God is now. Behold, the kingdom of God is within us. If we will be more in tune with the kingdom of God, come on, we can live in peace when everything is topsy-turvy, shaking, going up and down and moving all around. We can stay anchored and stable in peace. Hallelujah. Come on, there's a culture of the kingdom. It's a joyful culture. It's a happy culture. Come on, everybody in heaven is happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I remember one time, I tell this story a lot, but it just seems appropriate a lot. One time years ago, we were up on stage and we were worshiping the Lord, and the Lord began to move, and I heard the Lord laughing. In my spirit, I actually heard God laughing. It was such a robust, it wasn't just a, it was so full and so vibrant. God was laughing. And he said to me, he said, tell the people that life is lighter than they're living it. Listen, God's not moved. He's not moved by anything. If God's not moved, we shouldn't be moved either, because God's living right here on the inside of me and on the inside of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love that song that we sang today, that song, Glorious Day. It says, he called my name and I ran out of the grave. Come on, church. We've come out of the grave. Come on. We've come out of death and everything associated with it. We ran out of the grave, out of darkness, and into his glorious day. Come on, into his glorious light. Hallelujah. We have come out of the grave. We have come out of darkness and everything associated with it. We have come out of fear. We have come out of oppression. We have come out of depression. Come on, we have come out of destruction. We have come out of shame. Come on, church. We've come out. We have run out of that grave. It says we ran out. We didn't just casually fall out. Come on, we took hold when we heard Jesus call my name. Come on, it made me stand up on the inside and run toward him. Hallelujah. We ran out of the grave. Why? Because he called my name. Listen. You're still called of the Lord. Come on. He's still calling your name. When you wake up every morning, you ought to hear say, ho, Reggie, Chris, Pastor Chaz, Joan, come on. Him calling your name, Allison, Karina, come on, Sharon, come on. He's calling your name, Elaine, come on. Hey, Eric, he's calling your name. So we can run in to the glory of that day. Come on, we ran out of the grave and we're still running today. We're still running in to the glory of his light. Hallelujah. Listen, no one and nothing can cause darkness to be upon us. We are children of light. We have run in to his glorious light. The Bible says we are children of light. Hallelujah. In God, there is no darkness. In the kingdom, there is no darkness. Come on, there's never a reason or an excuse or a circumstance to have darkness be upon us. We're called to the light. Come on, we're called to live in the light. We're called to be the light. We're called to reflect the light, the glorious light of God. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that I came out of the darkness. Hallelujah. I believe every day we still have a choice. Come on, the Bible says that we're to lay hold of the things for which Jesus laid held for us. We're to lay hold of the light every day. Turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 60. I know this is a very common scripture, but I just want to read it this morning. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Are you there? Come on, do you have your Bibles open? Woo! Come on, there's light in the house this morning. Come on, there's a warmth in the light of God. Isaiah chapter 60, I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Look at that. Arise and shine. Why? Because your light has come. Come on, because the light of the Lord has dawned upon you. Come on, because the light of the Lord has settled upon you. Because the light of the Lord has been lit up on the inside of you. It's time to arise and shine, church. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory. Do you know one definition of the glory of God is the goodness of God? the goodness of God has risen upon you. Come on, listen, church. We got to shake our thinking back to biblical belief, back to the covenant. Come on, His goodness has risen upon us. His glory, His love, His power, His strength, His ability, His joy, it's risen upon us. Hallelujah. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now listen, God is going to say why the light has come and why we are to arise with the glory upon us. He said, for behold, hey, look at this. The darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. I'm talking to you from the word of the Lord, from the word that cannot fail, from the word that cannot be stopped. The Lord says He will be with you, and that His glory will be seen upon you. Look at that. Darkness is going to cover the earth. I believe we've seen some darkness covering the earth, covering nations, covering people. We're seeing it. We're right in the midst of it. Our covenant with God never said that there wasn't going to be darkness out there. Our covenant with God never said that there wasn't going to be crazy stuff, ungodly stuff, bad stuff, harmful stuff. As a matter of fact, He said it would be there. It's going to be in the earth, and it's going to cover people. But in the midst, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Though it be dark, though there be darkness upon other people, the Lord will be with you, and His glory, His goodness, His power, His love, His ability, His peace, His joy, His restoration will be upon you and will be seen upon you. Come on, not hid in the back. These are not the days to be hid in the back closet. These are the days of the church to run out front in the glory of the Lord and live in the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I want you to see here is that none of this caught God off guard. God already foretold us. Pastor Chaz tells us all the time that as good, solid Christians, we are already prepared for what is coming. God has not moved and we are not moved. Can I prevent darkness from all around? I can't, because the Lord said that darkness is going to cover the earth. And gross darkness is going to cover the people. But what I can do is prevent that darkness from being upon me or affecting me or messing with me. This is what radical Christianity believes. That in the midst of a dark world, I'm living in heaven. I'm living in the kingdom. I'm living in the light of the Lord, in the glory of God. Come on, if this doesn't rock your boat, then your boat is... Hallelujah. The Lord will arise over you. Come on, each day we get up, it's a brand new day. Come on, listen, when we ran out of that grave, we ran into the newness of life. We ran into the glory of God. And every day we get up, the glory is still there. It's just a matter of us running into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. These are great days. These are exciting days. I refuse to be moved by the things of the world. For I am a child of light and I live in the kingdom. And the only thing that has reference in my life is God's word. That's it. No word of the news. No word of a doctor. I have a word. And it came from heaven. From the source of all creation and the source of all power. I have a word. You have a word. And we will not be moved. Turn with me to Psalm 23. I'm just getting started. This is my intro. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm. I know Psalm is in my book here somewhere. Here it is. Psalm 23. Ooh, I just might really like to read the whole thing. Ooh, should we just read the whole thing? I mean, just read the whole thing just because it's like so living. It's like so alive. This is who God is. This is what He says. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters." Woo! Listen, I don't have to be in a dry and a parched land. I've got living water that I can drink of every day, and it's a still water. It's a calm water. He leads me, oops, He restores my soul. Woo! Come on, every day I can be made new again. Every day rising up in the newness of life. Every day I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Today I am brand new. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now look at verse 4. Talking about the fact that in the earth there is dark and light at the same time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here we see it again. Listen, the Lord is telling us, as children of light, with the glory of God upon us, we're going to be walking through some shadows, through some valleys, through some mountains, through some things where there's going to be darkness and shadows of the grave and death and things that are in opposition to God, to the covenant of God. But we, yea, though I walk through, we are walking through, we are going through. We will not remain. We will not be overtaken. We will walk through. God will see us through. Listen, I know there has been a virus. I'm not oblivious. I've never denied that fact. But I have to believe that my God will see me through the midst of it. And that my God will see you through the midst of it. We must anchor ourselves that we are not of the grave, that we are not of darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, which is just a shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no sickness. I will fear no economic collapse. I will fear nothing. Why? Because for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, again, God didn't say He was going to hide you from the enemy, put you in the back corner. No, no, no. You're supposed to be living in the light and letting your light shine right in the midst of evil, right in the midst of darkness, right in the midst of sickness, right in the midst of economic trouble. For God is with me. Hallelujah. 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 Some people would say we're foolish. But God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. We know something that they don't know. We have something that they don't have. We understand something that they will never comprehend. That God is with us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies so I can just go ahead and sit down and eat and partake of the covenant of God and the goodness of God and the blessing of God right in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. That means every morning when you wake up, come on, it might feel like natural you. It might feel like your body's the one sitting up. But come on, but when you rise up, God is right there. Come on, and there's a fresh anointing for that day. Come on, there's a fresh anointing for today. There's a fresh anointing in the house of God. There's a fresh anointing for the people of God today. For the glory of the Lord to be upon us so that we can rise and shine. My cup runs over. So much of God that we can't even contain it. So much of His goodness that we can't keep it all. So much of His strength, so much of His power. Come on, so much of His peace and His joy that it's just spilling out and spilling over. Come on, is that your life? Am I describing you? You are a Christian, right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. If goodness and mercy is following, then nothing else is around me. In all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we see it again. Darkness, yet light. And need I remind you that the light always dispels the darkness? Come on, if dark and light are in a room, the light is always going to win. The light is always going to overcome. The light is always going to outshine. Hallelujah. I love that. It says, for you are with me. The Lord is with me, and He keeps me. He goes before me. The blood of Jesus is over me. God's everlasting arms are under me. His goodness and His mercy follows me. And the heavenly host of angels are all around me. Hallelujah. Come on, this is the day, church, to be fully awake. Come on, to rise up in His glory and to live in His light. Hallelujah. The song says that we ran into His glorious light, in the light of the kingdom. Come on, it's time to let the light in us shine. Come on, it's time to let the light grow bigger. Come on, it's time to rekindle the light in us. Glory. Living in the light. Hallelujah. The song this morning says, I have a future. I have a future. Say it, I have a future. Say, I have a future in God. I have a future with God. We have a future in the Word. Then the song goes on to say that my eyes are open. Come on, church, it's time to open our eyes. Put our eyes on the right thing. Cause our eyes to stay fixed upon the right thing. It's time for us to live in the light of the right spiritual sight. How about that? Come on, you can't be looking around you and looking at stuff all of the time. We are to be looking at God. We are to be looking at the Word. We are to be looking at the kingdom so that we can stay in the light. It's time for us to properly discern what's really going on here. We're going to have to open our spiritual eyes and really see what is going on here and stay in tune with the Lord, with His plan, so that we can be secure with His plan to know that we have a future. We have a future, and it's a good future. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know that most of you know it, but I want to read it to you, and I want your eyes to be on it. Because you need to be secure in the future that you have with God. It's a good future. Amen. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, this is the Lord speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, That word peace there is not just like peace. It's not just a feel-good peace. It actually is shalom, and it means everything. It means everything good, everything whole, everything pleasant. It means prosperity. It means deliverance. It means healing. Come on, God's got good thoughts for you to give you a future and a hope. I'm going to tell you again, none of this has caught God off guard. None of this has surprised Him at all. God knew right where we would be right in this time, and nothing about His word and nothing about His covenant has changed. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4. I just want to talk to you for a brief moment about your future. Come on, we have a future way out there. We have a future for eternity. We have a future for 10 years from now. We have a future for next year, but we also have a future for tomorrow. Amen. The future is what's out in front of us. And I want to tell you that what's in front of you is good. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun." Now look at that. The path of the just, the plan for the just, the journey of the just. How many of you are just? Come on, the Bible says if you're saved that you've been justified by God, you are the just. How many of you are just? Come on, the Bible says that the path of the just is like the shining sun. Guess what? In the shining sun, there is no darkness. Come on, there is no fear. There is no uncertainty. There is no anxiety. Come on, there is no doubt. There is no reason to worry, to be concerned. There's no reason to change your mind about what God has said. Come on, in the sun, there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no lack. The Bible says that the path of the just is like the shining sun. When is the church gonna believe that word? Amen. When everything around you looks perfect? That's not what the Bible said. Listen, when you're walking down a path, there's a lot of stuff all around you. But there's a specific path for your life, a well thought out plan. A well thought out designed future with God. He planned it for you. While you were yet in your mama's womb, He fashioned your days. He set up a good plan and a good path, full of the shining light of the Lord. When are we going to believe it? Why do I keep saying that? Because the truth is, the reality is that we receive what we believe. That's our partnership with the Lord. It doesn't just fall out of heaven. Unfortunately, it's not automatic, but it is guaranteed if you will believe that your path will be like the shining sun. Oh, I have seen the goodness of God. I have lived in the goodness of God. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. Look at this. That shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. You know what that means? That means the path that God has for you just gets brighter and brighter and lighter and lighter and better and better. Listen, it doesn't diminish. It doesn't grow dim. Come on, we don't get in the kingdom. We don't run out of the grave into the glorious light. Do this for a while, and then come on, life happens. I don't care about life happenings. We're not living in that life happening. We're living in the life of the Lord happening, and it's just going to get brighter and brighter. Come on, it's just going to get gooder and gooder. Come on, it's just going to continue. That's my expectation. That is my future. is that my future is bright, that my tomorrow is better than my yesterday, that my tomorrow is better than my today. Come on, that there's a fresh anointing. Yesterday's anointing might be good. Today's anointing might be sustaining, but there's a better, a gooder anointing tomorrow because God has promised me. What are you going to believe? What the news is telling you? That things will never be normal again? Is that what you're believing? We got a lot of people believing that, hopefully not Christians, but thinking that things are never going to be normal again. I am not going to let the world dictate to me how I will live. I will not. We will not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to be secure in the path that is before us, that it's light, that it's bright, that it's good, that it's God, that He's in it, that He's there, that He's already gone before you. He's already prepared the way. He's already prepared it. He's gone before you. He's already been out into your future. He already knows all things that are to come. He's already been there, and He's working it all out for your good. Listen, Jesus is the author. He's authored your life, and if you will stay with Him, if you will stay in His Word, if you will believe Him, He will finish your life and everything that is in between. He will work all things together for good. All things. That word says all things, even the bad things, God can turn around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So go back with me to Jeremiah 29:11. Look at that. The Lord wants to give you a future. This morning I want you to leave here secure in your future, secure in what is to come. I want you to know it's already been established in heaven. It's already been written. It's already been determined that it's a bright path for you. It's a good future. God's got good things for you. Eye has not seen yet, nor has ear heard, even the thing not as it even yet entered into your heart. All of the good things that God has in store for you. I tell you what, sometimes I just think, wow, God has been so good. I've seen God do so much. And then I catch myself and I just remember that there's even more. There's even more in store. Come on. There's things that we haven't even thought about yet. Things that we haven't seen yet. Things that we haven't heard yet. Come on, church. We're going to have to get out of natural living, natural thinking, natural expecting, and begin to expect the true things of the kingdom. Because God said He'd give us a future and He'd give us a hope. He'd give us a hope. Hope. God wants to give you a hope. He wants to give you a desire with a confident expectation of fulfillment. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Pastor Chad said it the other day, you know, the true definition of hope is like it's a strain, like with your neck going forward. It's like I've got something, I'm seeing something. It's not here right now. It's right there in the future. It's before me. It's in front of me. It's something that God has said to me, something that God has shown me. It's a covenant promise to me. It's right there, and my neck is reached. I'm stretched forward because I'm expecting it. At any moment, I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it to happen because God has said it. Hope, I mean, reaches up and says, yes, it's here, it's coming. No matter what, it will be, as God has said to me. That's what hope does for us. Hope causes us to reach forward. Hope does not cause us to look back. Hope does not cause us to look around. Hope does not cause us to look nowhere. Hope causes us to look up, to look forward, to look to God into all the things that are to come. I'm going to say it, the best is yet to come. You know, I know what happens to people. Sometimes when they hear something like that, they think, oh, that's just a cliche. I've heard that before. God never said he had to say something new all the time. All he had to say was the intent of his heart, and you believe it. I said the best is yet to come. I said the best for your life is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Believe it and receive it. The best is before you. Don't get satisfied. Don't get lazy. Don't get complacent. No matter what it's been like, keep reaching forward. Keep looking to God. Hope is based in God. Hope is not natural. Listen, wanting and wishing, that's natural. And sometimes I think that's why Christians get this a little mixed up sometimes. Because there's a lot of wanting and wishing all around, wanting and wishing. But that is not what hope is. Hope is established in God. It's established in his word, something that he has said to us. It's supernatural. It's based off of a supernatural book of supernatural promises with a supernatural God of the Holy Spirit that can work that out in your behalf. That's what hope does. Hope doesn't have to look around. Hope looks at God and says, that's it. That's mine. It's coming. The Word of God has hope. The Bible actually says this in Romans 15:4. It says that the things that were written for our learning so that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we would have hope. You know why we have hope? Because we have this book. Because it is supernatural in origin. Come on, because it never fails. Because this Word here is a living Word. It's alive. It's powerful. It has the ability to accomplish what it says. These are living words of God. They're life and they're spirit. And the Bible says that in his word I do hope. Come on, have you anchored your hope? Have you anchored your expectation? Do you have an expectation? Or are you just getting up every day, just wondering from day to day, just what's today is just today? Or do you have an expectation? Do you have something you're pressing to? Do you have something you're looking to? And something that you're expecting to happen? Are you working toward it? Are you praying into it? Are you fasting over it? Are you confessing it out of your mouth? Are you putting it before your spiritual eyes? Do you have an expectation in God? You know, I'm reminded that one of those conditions that the Lord gave me, conditions conducive to revival, one of those conditions was desire. Which really, hope is a desire with a confident expectation of fulfillment. It's time for the church to just get hungry. I mean, we're just going to have to get really desirous. I mean, when we sing that song, that we want to move? Does that resonate in your heart? I mean, I want to see the greatest move of God ever. It's in me. It's a desire to see God move in our midst. When you come to church, are you expecting God to move? Are you expecting something to happen in this place? There is a hope for us in the Word. There is a hope for us. The Word gives us hope. It stirs hope up within us. If you want to have hope, you're going to have to be in the Word. You're going to have to read the Word. You're going to have to study the Word. You're going to have to confess the Word. You're going to have to live the Word, because the Word is the life of God. In it we find hope. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. God wants us to have hope. The world will tell you don't get your hopes up. Come on, the devil will tell you don't get your hopes up about that. You're not qualified for that. That's not going to happen for you. Come on, you tried that once before and it didn't work. Come on, the enemy will be whispering in your ear, don't get your hopes up. It only caused disappointment. But listen, God wants you to get your hope up. God wants you to get your hopes up. He wants you to have big hope because He's a big God. He wants you to have a good hope because He's a good God. God wants you to have hope. He just said, have hope. Have hope. Have hope in what I've said to you. Have hope in what my word has declared to you. Have hope in what my spirit has stirred up in you. Have hope. Believe it. Expect it. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Anytime you start hearing those things about don't believe this or don't try that or it's you know, it's beyond you, you got to know who that is. You got to recognize who that is. And you got to turn right around right in the face of it and speak back to it. And say, no, I have great hope because I have a great God. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope. Look at that. Now the God of hope. Our God is a God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to abound in hope. Not just have a little hope. He wants you to abound in hope. He wants you to be hopeful. I mean, when people see you, oh my gosh, they are always so hopeful. I mean, they are always so optimistic. They are always talking about the possibilities, what's coming, what good is going to happen. That's who we are as the people of God, because the God of hope lives on the inside of us and wants us to abound in hope. Listen, this may, for many of you, run very contrary to your personality. You may be a melancholy that when you get up in the morning, your natural self would say, it's another day. Here I go again. I hope I can get through it. But you know what that means? All that means is that you haven't stirred yourself up and filled yourself up with the Holy Ghost of hope yet. Because when you get the Holy Ghost active, you're like, today is another day. What possibilities are before me today? What good is going to happen to me today? Something good is coming my way. The Holy Ghost is the ultimate optimist. He is never down, never discouraged, never disappointed. He always sees the good, the best, the possibilities. They're endless. That He fills us, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why, one of the many millions of reasons why I love the Holy Spirit. Because He gets to fill us up and, I mean, just start fixing things and causing us to see things right and changing our speech, and everything just gets glorious and wonderful with the Holy Spirit. So listen, if you want to have hope, if you want to be able to see and know and be confident in your future and in the expectation of things that are to come, you're going to have a life in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about somebody, some that you come just on Sunday and listen to me talk about Him or pastor talk about Him. I'm talking about a daily life in the Holy Spirit. You know, I've always had this vision. And you know, of course at Houston Faith Church, I'm seeing it, right? I've always had this vision that if someone was to walk inside the church, inside the lobby, Even before we got in the assembly, if someone from the outside, someone outside the kingdom, was to walk inside the church, what would they see? That people of such hope, of such expectation, of such an expectation of good things, of the possibilities, of the optimist, of that everything is wonderful, that the best is yet to come, that everything good is happening. I believe there's a substance to that, that you can feel it rather than people walking around. I hope I get some help today. Well, I hope you get some help today too, but really, you have the helper on the inside of you. And you can come already, stir. Get your help in the morning when you roll out of bed. Come on, go ahead and stir yourself up with some help of the Holy Ghost. Activate your hope. Come on, hope is what lifts us up. Amen. Hope is really what makes life worth living. If you can't look forward with the confident, good expectation. And listen, hope is happy. Hope is happy. Don't you tell me you're hopeful if you're all like this. I'm talking about you. Hope is happy. And I know that we don't live by emotions, but sometimes our spirit can stir up our emotions. Hope is happy. I mean, when you have a hope, you're really believing it's going to be fulfilled and you're happy about it. If you look around at things that you think you're believing God for, if you're not happy, you probably really don't have any hope. You might be wishing and you might be wanting, but you're probably not really in Bible hope. Because hope just makes me happy because it's coming. It's right there. I have an expectation. I have an expectation. I have an expectation. Hope is what makes life worth living. As Christians, we ought to be living in the fullness of life. We don't want any dead Christians. I wrote here a quote that was said by George Foreman. Do y'all know who he is? He's one of the old great fighters. Sometimes I like looking at what fighters said because I believe that we're fighters in the kingdom. Come on, I believe we're called to fight the good fight of faith. We got to know what it's like to get in the ring and be able to contend for some things. You know, one thing I've noticed about fighters is they have an attitude. Doesn't always matter if they're the biggest. Doesn't matter if their record is the best. Doesn't matter if they have the longest arm reach. They all have an attitude. Come on, we have to have an attitude. We have to have an attitude about our God, about the covenant that we have with God. Come on, about the goodness of God. So that when the devil looks at me, it's like, I ain't backing down. You gonna say something? I'm gonna say something louder. George Foreman said this. He said, if you don't dream, you might as well be dead. Come on, church. I said, if you don't dream, if you don't have hope, you might as well be dead. You might as well go on home. Come on, who is the church that's going to rise up in the light and hope for things? Things that are yet to come. Things that have not yet been seen. Things that God wants to do in the midst of us. Come on, he's looking for a people who will have their hope solely in God. I want to remind you, God says, get your hopes up. Come on, right now on the inside of you, there's things. I want you to build your hope in them. Come on, it's time for us to build our hope. Time for us to stir up our hope. Time for us to kindle the flame of hope. It's time to let God's word stir up some things and reactivate some things and get us just established in the fact that we have a hope and a future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's given us all we need. We got the Word and we got the Spirit. We got the Word and the Spirit. That's it. That's all we need. We just get ourselves out of the way. If we can get our carnal thinking, come on, if we can get, you know, us thinking about our life or the natural circumstances or blah, 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 blah. The truth is your hope is going to be geared by your spiritual sight, what you're looking at. What are you looking at? Are you reading the Word more than you're reading the newspaper? Are you reading something supernatural more than you're reading something natural? What are your eyes fixed on? Are your eyes fixed on TV? On all the series and the shows and the blah, blah that's going on? Is that what your eyes are fixed on? Come on. And your spiritual speech, what are you saying? Who are you agreeing with? Are you binding the angels from doing good in your life by what you're saying? Are you loosing them to work in God's behalf in your life by your words? What are you saying? Do you have an expectation declaration on your tongue out of your mouth at all times? Amen. Are you calling things that be not as though they are? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to have a hope. Praise the Lord. God wants you to have a hope. God has already established some things. God has already put some things in your future. God has put some good things in your future. God has put some glorious things in your future. Come on, we are children of the light. Come on, the light has arisen. Come on, the light has come. Come on, the glory of God is upon us. Come on, these are the days and the times to be getting up every day and declaring who we are. And running. Running, running, running. We are running. We are running with God. We are running with the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.